The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
This is Box Score Heroes, a look at the headlines, the great moments, the numbers, and the love and nostalgia that make us baseball fans. Welcome to the only baseball power rankings you need. A quick look back at the week in baseball. Power is power, and here is how we rank it. Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Napsok, and welcome to the first edition of the only baseball power rankings you need part of Box Score Heroes. Here's the deal. We're going to look back, and we're going to rank the week in baseball. Seems pretty simple, but we have our spin on it. Let's get right to it. Number five, Jeff McNeil's dog. One complaint you might occasionally hear about Major League Baseball is that the superstars and standout players aren't marketed right. Just not enough people know the names and faces of the players on the field making headlines. At least not like how we knew them when we were younger, though there's something to be said about those posters on your wall. Just look around you now. How many Jose Canseco 40-40 posters do you have? That might answer the question. But there's some truth to this. And well, the first week of the season went by and there were a lot of players making headlines. But it was the face of a dog that got some of the best press. On July 25th, Atlanta's Adam Duvall went oppo for his first home run of the season off the Mets' Steven Matz. The line drive shot sailed straight into the cardboard face of Mets star Jeff McNeil's dog, Willow. That's right, the pooches of Michael Conforto and McNeil were part of the cardboard cutout crowd at Citi Field, and poor Willow took one on the snoot. Ironically, or perhaps it was because of the fickle powers of fate, it was almost 1 year ago to the day that McNeil saw the dog at a pet adoption event at Citi Field, claimed it for his own with permission from his wife, and hit a home run that night like he was Babe Ruth making promises to sick kids. Do it for the dogs, folks. Do it for the dogs. Atlanta won 5-3, but history will remember Willow, the Met dog. Number four, the city of Buffalo. The Toronto Blue Jays have been out on their own with no direction home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone, as the Canadian government has said no thank you, to the idea of the Blue Jays coming home to roost. And I'm sorry for the bird puns and stereotypical Canadian jokes. I have no excuses, yet here we are. After searching for the right place to play their home games, with one wild suggestion having them sharing time with the Pirates in Pittsburgh, that would only work for me if the Blue Jays started wearing those Stargell-era We Are Family hats complete with stars handed out for good deeds, Toronto announced on July 24th that they will be using the stadium and facilities of their AAA affiliate in Buffalo. The answer was calling from upstairs all along. So, surprise, people of Buffalo, you get to have a major league team in your city. Not that you can watch them in person, but the denizens of this venerable and venerated sports city get to cheer on their adopted team, another wrinkle in a, shall we say, unique season. Let's hope that this time wide right just means Vlad Jr. curled one inside the left field foul pole. Again, I'm sorry, but we are here. Number three, the fine art of trolling. We go back to Citi Field for yet another tale of the cardboard cutouts. For only $86, hey, Ray Knight and Mookie Wilson get that reference, you can purchase a cardboard cutout of yourself to be on display, silently cheering on the Mets like some sort of child of the corn. The deal was too good to pass up for the number one New York Mets troll, Chipper, don't call me Larry Mets fans, Jones. The face of the Hall of Famer and his son, Shay, oh, Chipper, that's good, real good, were proudly on display in the stands taunting the Mets and their fans. It was taking trolling to another level, as the Mets fans and Chipper Jones have always had, shall we say, the type of frosty, playful relationship usually reserved for reality shows where rich housewives smile in the faces of the people they hate. Jones had 49 homers and 159 RBI in his career against the Mets, torturing them time and time again. What a power move by Jones, but oh wait, after the story made the rounds that Jones bought the cutout, turns out it was actually Jones' current employer, ESPN, who purchased the photos. All proceeds going to charity. That That seems like some sort of conflict of interest for a broadcast network to taunt a team they're covering, but you know what? We'll let it count. Number two, waiting for the truth. On Sunday, July 26, it was announced that the Astros ace and reigning American League Cy Young Award winner, don't you forget it, Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, was going to be shut down for the season with a forearm injury. This was particularly devastating to Astros fans trying to forget that that same Gerrit Cole is now pitching in pinstripes and trash cans can no longer receive a share of the postseason bonuses. You almost have to pity those poor Astro fans. First, most of them had to buy those horrible cactus cooler uniforms in the 80s just to support the team, and then they had to watch as the Verlander news spread like wildfire over social media, breaking their hearts with every tweet. Verlander was done after suffering the injury after going 6-strong against the Mariners for his 226th career win to start the season. But hold the phone, or hold whatever the modern equivalent of a phone is. Justin Verlander tweeted out later in the day a clarification, saying in a well-worded tweet that included only one emoji, "The report that I am currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. There is a forearm strain, ellipses, good use of ellipses. I am hopeful that with some rest it will heal and I'll be able to return soon. Thank you all for the well wishes." You got it, Justin. Ah, Astro fans haven't felt this relief since Mike Scott started scuffing baseballs. I mean, we mean learn to throw a split-figured fastball. There is still joy in Houston. The mighty Verlander has not left the building. Josh James will get the start in his place as the ace takes 2 weeks to rest his forearm strain. Now, yes, 2 weeks plus any rehab time does put Verlander potentially out for, say, 50% of this season. But this is a weird season, and like showing up late to your friend's birthday party, it counts as long as you're there for the cake and present opening. The important thing here is that one of the most powerful things in baseball this week was waiting for the truth in this age of fast-spreading rumors. Rest a little easier this week, Astro fans. Not all is lost. You can worry about the redemption of the trash can taunts later. Number one, defeating the Yips. On April 27, 2013, Red Sox hurler Daniel Bard made what seemed to be his last appearance in the major leagues. The once highly touted pitcher had logged 3 solid years out of the bullpen from 2009 to 2011. Then he got the Yips. Ah, the Yips, the ancient mythical condition in which a baseball player suddenly and quite tragically loses the ability to throw a baseball. Rick Ankiel, Chuck Knobloch, and Mackie Sasser trying to throw the ball back to the pitcher are just a few players who have famously experienced the Yips over the years. No laughing matter. Bard was the latest. His 2012 season saw his ERA double, and the walks started pouring in. By April of 2013, he was done. The right-hander tried to keep going with other clubs, but just couldn't defeat the Yips. Last year, he was working with the Diamondbacks as a mental skills coach and mentor and seemed at peace with how it had all gone. The perspective of having 3 kids will do that to you, or so I've heard. I'm just an uncle. Then he started to get the feel back, slowly, surely, and then boom. 2,646 days after he last threw an official Major League pitch, Bard took the mound for the Rockies on Saturday, July 25th. 1 1/3 innings later, he was not only back, but he had picked up the vulture win in relief for John Gray. The 2020 Major League Baseball season is no doubt unlike any other season we've had, and we're not even sure if it will finish. But just a week in, it already has one of the best feel-good moments in the game's great history. Daniel Bard 1, the Yips 0. And those are the only baseball power rankings you need for the first week of the 2020 season. Stay tuned to Box Score Heroes all through the season for more rankings, baseball card openings, and reactions to the best moments, big and small, during the season. And you can get involved on the only baseball power rankings you need going forward. If you have a favorite moment of the week, just use the Anchor app to call in and leave a message and let us know what got you during the week, what made you cheer, and what made you boo. Follow us on Twitter at Box Score Heroes and subscribe on YouTube. I'm Ken Napsok, and we'll see you next week.